Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Yes, that is the sound of the bell ringing. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for tuning in today. Why do I ring the bell? Because today is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So we ring the bell here at Spirit in the Morning for all feasts and solemnities. We want to remember our Blessed Mother today and turn to her and ask her to intercede for us, especially this, her feast day. All right, got a great show for you today. We even have a special guest on the program today, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. Father, sometimes we forget our blessings. We ignore them. We're too busy complaining. So we ask you today to send your Holy Spirit to help us to be more aware of the blessings that you provide for us every day. Father, we ask you to help us with the challenges that we face today, the people, the situations, the circumstances, the suffering. We offer up everything we do, all of our sufferings, all of our prayers, all of our works, whatever it is, we give them to you this day. We ask you to bless us. We ask you to speak through us on the program today, and open our minds and hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I said we had a good show, and I am not kidding. We're going to be joined today by Dr. Alan Schreck from Franciscan University at Steubenville. He's going to be continuing his series on his book from the Word Among Us Press, Your Life in the Holy Spirit. Today we'll specifically be talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in evangelization. You know, sometimes we think that I need to evangelize, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. Well, that's where we turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for his help. We're going to talk about that. Also joining us today will be Leo Severino. He's the author of a new book called Going Deeper, A Reason Exploration of God and Truth from Ignatius Press. He's going to be here. We're going to be talking about how can we prove God is real. So it's going to be a little deep today on the program. Speaking of deep, one of the deepest men I know.
Oh.
Mr. Dave Parker.
Oh, I thought you say Frank Eliza. Good morning, Gary, and good morning, everyone, our listeners, our faithful listeners. How are you?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good, good.
Yes.
Anything new?
Well, yesterday was a baking day in the Parker household.
Yeah, I saw some of that on Facebook. What was that you were baking?
Finnish, it's called nissua, which is the Finnish word for like a sweet bread. And my sister and brother-in-law came down from Wilkes-Barre area, West Pittston,
right,
PA, to be exact, because my sister Barb, my wife is also Barb, and there was, my sister has been not successful. Something with her bread maker was not giving her a good product on making nissua.
Okay.
So she accomplished a great batch of nissua, or Finn biscuit, they call it. And it's a tradition in the Finnish culture, which is on my mother's side.
Well, that's great. Was it good?
Oh, yes.
Very good. Looked delicious.
We were praying a lot for the a good outcome. So anyways, yes.
And now, Frank Eliason is here as well.
Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. Now, what's this? You have a helper with you today?
I do.
We have a special guest in the studio. Special guest.
Is it an elf?
Special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Say hi. Oh, now she's going to be shy, and we all know she's not shy. So Robin is with us today.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Robin. Good morning.
It's been a long time since Robin's been on the show.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe if we not all look away and not look at her.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
waiting for her to
I think
utter
she's
some
just
words.
Nervous because today's parent-teacher conference.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
But I'm sure you have no problem with that, Robin, right?
Would your teacher say the same thing?
Anyway.
Whoa.
Oh, that was an honest answer.
But it's great to have Robin in the studio today.
Hey,
it is.
Robin, no pressure. Come on, just be yourself. You know, you're amongst friends here. And your dad.
So we started the upgrade process, and so ran some tests yesterday, and they actually went very, very well. So we're about to start putting in new equipment.
Pretty exciting. Looking forward to
that. You know, I came in this morning, and at every turn around every corner and every hallway, It reminded me of Christmas morning. There are boxes.
Boxes everywhere.
And some wrapping. Frank was in his glory yesterday with all the new equipment.
No, it was a challenge because you sit there, you're like, you hook it all up and you assume it's just going to work and it doesn't. And then at one point I came running out of the studio, jumping up and down. And that's because all of a sudden I got it to work and it worked and realized it was real easy. But it's just different because in the traditional radio format, we're analog. So basically you plug something in and that's it. This is all digital. So you have to do some programming for it to work. And basically I clicked on something and it worked well. So, that studio, our production room where we do pre-recorded stuff will probably be changed over today. Mm. And if I meet my goals right, it'll be before Janet and Monsignor come to do some recordings today. Okay. So literally we'll have it done today.
Excellent. I know he operates well under pressure.
Yes,
so,
so
we look forward to the new equipment here at Holy Spirit Radio. Guys, I want to do the weather. And then I have, I want to briefly touch on Archbishop Chaput's weekly column. He's talking about Advent. So here's the weather today. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 43 degrees, overcast skies. Today, chance of showers before 2 p.m., and then otherwise we'll have cloudy with a high near 47. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 22. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 32. So it's going to be a chilly day tomorrow.
Way up there.
At the moment in Malvern, 37. In Oxford, it's 43. Mm-hmm. And in New Hope, it's 38 degrees. Gentlemen, I'm trying to treat you with respect.
He said trying.
I was looking online and I saw the Archbishop's column. This comes out. You could find it at Philly, CatholicPhilly.com. He has some interesting comments about Advent. Just want to share a couple of these. Here's what he has to say. Advent is a wonderful time of year. It's that special season when families huddle together around the TV or alone on their various devices to watch hundreds of greed-inspiring ads and listen to Xmas carols with rewritten lyrics that sell lottery tickets and cars and smartphones. This is how he starts out.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say, that's option A. Option B is this. We can make Advent 2017 something much deeper and much better. We can live it as the season was meant to be lived. And then he goes on to talk about Christmas has its source in the birth of Jesus Christ, Redeemer of man. Advent, the start of the new church year, is the preface or prequel to that world-changing event. It readies our hearts to receive the child Jesus at Bethlehem. And also Jesus, the Son of God and Lord of history at the end of time. It's a season to reflect, repent, put aside our sins and failures, and begin again in hope as true disciples. Mm.
So the question is, go ahead.
No, but then I was going to say, he talks about after that, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, he talks about how we can put this into practice through charity. And he lists some charitable causes. And Frank, you've been talking about this.
It's faith in action. It's really what we're called to do. I think too often, we want to, get more into judgment and things like that. But the reality is, what did you do today? What did you go about doing? How did you help your neighbor? How did you help someone in need? Mm-hmm. And there's tons of causes out there that you can easily volunteer to do. I love, idea of soup kitchens or, doing feeding people in
absolutely.
Need. Or maybe it's collecting gifts for, Toys for Tots or some charity along those lines. It doesn't have to be that specific one.
So the choice is, okay, A or B. Okay,
yeah,
that's
right.
It. A or B. Which one are we going with, boys?
And
Robin,
we've been promoting that every day. The importance of taking Advent seriously, really looking to the Lord and saying, "Hey, Lord, what needs to change in me?" And then looking outward as well and saying, "What can I do to help somebody else?" And the Archbishop has suggestions. He mentions Catholic Social Services, and there are a few other suggestions he has. Check out his column. You can find that at CatholicPhilly.com.
It's Do You Invite the Lord to Your Table?
Yeah.
And so, a tradition, Dale has had at numerous times is to have a seat for Jesus at, different feasts and stuff like that. And
I didn't know that.
But think about from those perspectives. Would you be willing to have Jesus with the way your life is right next to you?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? Mm-hmm. He was doing stuff for people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And usually the sinners.
Yeah, all the time.
So that's the challenge for Advent. Mm-hmm. So we still got some time left. We are in the second week of Advent. Let's look at today's gospel. We have a couple choices. I'm going to choose one, but there you could hear either one of these as the gospel at daily mass today. These are special or proper gospels for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The one I'm using comes from Luke 1, 39 through 47. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Here's a great example of Mary, the Blessed Mother, who has just been told that she's been chosen to become the mother of the Savior. Mary said yes, the child was conceived. Mm-hmm. And what did she do? She didn't worry about her own problems. She went to visit her relative Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant and elderly. Charity in action. I mean, that's a great example for us on this day.
What a crux choice she made, a key choice. She could have chosen not to go that way. Right.
And that's an example of the Blessed Mother. How she rolled, so to speak, right?
Well, I mean, put in current terms.
She wasn't thinking of herself. She was thinking of others. And, you know, if you're struggling with that, if you're struggling to do things for other people, because a lot of us can get selfish at times. Mm. Well, I've got a lot of things to do to get ready for Christmas. I don't have time
None
to help
of us
anybody
do that.
Else. Yeah. But we can ask the Blessed Mother to help us, to inspire us to be able to go out and help other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she does. I mean, we just have to ask. And she's there.
That is right.
And Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit's there.
That's right. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be joined after the break by Dr. Alan Schreck. We'll be talking about evangelization and the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 12th. Today we celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe. In 1531, a 57-year-old Indian named Juan Diego reported an apparition of Mary. As he was walking to Mass outside Mexico City one Saturday morning, he passed by a hill called Tepeyac. Hearing beautiful music, he looked up and saw a radiant cloud. Within the cloud was an Indian maiden dressed like an Aztec princess. Speaking in his own language, she sent him to the Bishop of Mexico with the request that the bishop build a chapel in the place where she had appeared. The bishop demanded that Juan's lady send him a sign, which she did, in the form of roses, in December, that Juan would carry to the bishop in his cloak. When Juan opened his cloak in the bishop's presence, the roses dropped to the floor, revealing an image of the maiden as she appeared on Tepeyac Hill. Within 2 years, that chapel was built. Over 12 million pilgrims visit the shrine and basilica to Our Lady of Guadalupe each year. In 1910, Our Lady of Guadalupe was named Patroness of Latin America, and in 1945, Pope Pius XII entrusted all the Americas to her care.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
find it hard to sleep tonight, resting by the Christmas lights. Could there be something you forgot? Beyond the bows and mistletoe, the tree with presents wrapped below, there's more to this than you had ever thought. Have we lost the reason that we celebrate each year? What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas without Christ? Remember how the story goes, God's gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes beneath the star, one great and holy night. The shepherds heard the angels sing, the wise men brought an offering, peace on earth again in Bethlehem. Have we lost the reason that we're celebrating?
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was This Is Christmas by Cutlass. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks for tuning in today. The time is 7:18. Well, we are joined now by Dr. Alan Schreck. He's a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and he's the author of several books, including Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience, from the Word Among Us Press. We're going to be talking now about the role of the Holy Spirit in evangelization. Dr. Schreck, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Good to be back with you.
Awesome to have you back, my friend. You know, this is such a hot topic, evangelization. I think, Dr. Schreck, so many people get bent out of shape by the idea that I can't evangelize, I don't know what to say. Well, we're not supposed to do it on our own, are we?
Nope. Jesus said, when they bring you before governors and kings, don't worry about what you just say, because you'll know at that moment. And it's the Holy Spirit, he says, will give us those words when we need them. If we call upon the Holy Spirit, he'll give us what to say.
Right, right. Now, I want to ask you about this. I want to follow up on what you just said, because that's a great point that you made. Does that mean that I don't need to study anything about my faith?
Oh, certainly that's not the conclusion, no.
Right.
Because we can only share, we can only tell people about what we know, and the more we understand or the better we understand, the better we can tell others about, you know, whatever it is we want to talk about. So if we want to talk about our faith, yeah, study. In fact, you know, sometimes my students, you know, gee, I prayed really hard. Why didn't I do well on this exam?
Yeah.
No, it's got to be the Holy Spirit anointing something that you know. Just like the apostles, they knew Jesus was risen from the dead. But it's interesting, you know, the Lord didn't send them out right away. He said, go up in that upper room and wait and pray till the Holy Spirit comes. Because even though they had they believed in Jesus as Lord and that he rose from the dead, but without the Spirit, they didn't. They just didn't have the power and that anointing to be able to proclaim it with the power that was needed.
Right. Now, obviously, that was a bit of a silly question, but I've heard people say this before, and it's pretty funny. I'm asking a professor of theology, do we need to study the faith? But honestly, we can, and I'm sure you would agree with this, we can have all the book knowledge in the world about our Catholic faith, but if it was not for the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be very ineffective as evangelists.
Yes. And you know, even though it's important to tell about what we know, really the heart of evangelization is personal witness.
Right.
You know, it's those apostles who experienced Jesus from risen, and they could say, well, we can't but talk about what we have seen and heard. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has to, when we witness, you know, it has to be personal. It just isn't book knowledge. It's about what we know about God, our encounter with God, and how we've experienced God in our lives. That's really what will get people open to this good news.
Yeah, and you do make that point in your book. You said that there was no elaborate missionary plan or organization in the early church. Every Christian simply witnessed to Christ. Do you see a lot of that being done today, or have we gone in the other direction? We talk more about book knowledge or factual information, and we lack the personal witness.
Yeah, that could be true. I think one of the big problems for Catholics is we're just sort of intimidated, you know, we're in the sense of, you know, we're uncomfortable sharing our faith, or you know, we're afraid we'll offend someone. And I think that, you know, none of us wants to be viewed as a Bible thumper beating people over the head. And this is where I think there are a lot of misconceptions about evangelization. What it is, if it's just sharing honestly and openly about, you know, who I am, what I believe.
Right.
And I think that's the key. Gary, I have to share with you something. I woke up this morning and I was just thinking, I maybe this was the Holy Spirit, but, you know, to me, this season of Christmas and Advent and Christmas is really for those uncomfortable about sharing their faith, what we have, let's say your Christmas cards and Christmas letters, you know, what an opportunity just to say, you know, this is why I celebrate Christmas or we celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And maybe it's just simple, like John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his son. You know, or when you're sitting around the Christmas dinner or something, and maybe let's take a moment, just talk for a minute. Why is Christmas important? Why do we celebrate this so much? And, you know, evangelization is just, you know, making it personal, sharing your faith. And this is a season where I think where Catholics might feel more comfortable in just saying, put in your Christmas letter, your Christmas card, just some little thing about, I believe that this is special because God so loved the world that he sent his son. Anyway, so I just wanted to put that in.
The
Holy Spirit gave me that. But just to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, that's what I might say, but, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, how can I share my faith more openly? How, maybe, what in, at Christmas time, what in this Advent time, what's an opportunity I might have that would, you know, flow from something everyone's doing, wishing each other Happy Christmas or sending a Christmas card. Just ask the Holy Spirit how to do that. That's just sort of the word I had for today.
That's a great word. You know, and sometimes I think we overcomplicate things, but that's a very simple and powerful message. Dr. Schreck, how can we avoid getting frustrated when we try to evangelize and we get met with resistance or somebody doesn't believe what we want to say? Is it our job to push forward, or do we just plant the seeds and let the Holy Spirit do his thing?
Well, I think you've given the answer. It's funny, Pope Francis, in his encyclical, his apostolic letter on evangelization, which is on the joy of the gospel, he says, the Holy Spirit grants the courage to proclaim the newness of the gospel with boldness in every time and place, even when it meets opposition. Let us call upon him today, firmly rooted in prayer. For without prayer, all our activity risks being fruitless and our message empty. I think we just have to, first of all, just daily prayer,
right.
Just asking, Lord, show us the opportunities and give us the courage, even when, you know, it doesn't seem people are interested or it meets opposition. Yeah, what you said, we're just sowing the seeds. It's
right.
Up to the Holy Spirit works two ways. He gives us, opens our mouth or our words to share, but then we have to pray that the Holy Spirit would open the hearts of those who receive this. And that's his work. So we don't it's not all on us. It is really God's work. Only God can convert the hearts of others. But we have to be open. Our part is to be open to share. We have to plant that seed.
Right. Right. What if somebody's listening to the program today, and I've been in this position at times in the past, and saying, well, my relationship with the Lord is personal. I don't have a desire to evangelize. Is that indicative of a lack of the Holy Spirit working, or what would that be if somebody is just saying, you know what, I don't really have the desire to evangelize?
Yeah, well, I think the basic thing is this is the fundamental mission of the church. Is Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, we think, oh, he was just talking to the apostles.
Right.
As we say in the early church, the church spread and grew because everyone, if you're alive with the Holy Spirit in your heart, with faith in your heart, you want to share something good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the message is personal, but it's not private.
Yeah.
Jesus never said this is a private message I'm giving just for you. He said, make disciples, share your faith. This is good news. So if we're convicted in our hearts that this is good news, not just for me, but for others, we should find a way or want to. Mm. It should be something from within. And this is the heart of evangelization. It's not something, oh, Father says or the Pope says,
right.
I got to evangelize.
Right.
There's got to be a spark in our heart. Pope Francis says, I wish I had the words to say, to stir people up, but he says, I know it's the Holy Spirit. Only God can stir up that desire in your heart.
And, you know, this is one thing that I found in my life. We only have about a minute left in the segment, but what I was just saying was there was a time when after I had my conversion, I started to grow closer to the Lord, that I really wanted to read more about the Catholic faith. I wanted to pray more, but I did not want to evangelize, even though I knew that the church said I'm supposed to. But as I grew closer to the Lord, all of a sudden that desire began to grow in my heart. So I realized that it was something lacking in me that didn't have that spark really burning in my soul.
So the advice is, let's ask people to pray for that desire.
There you go. You know,
Peter Crafe said, why did 12 fishermen convert the world and a 500 million Christian unable to repeat it? The Spirit makes the difference.
Oh man, that's a great message to close on. The book is Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience by Dr. Alan Schreck. We'll have a link to where you can purchase the book online. Dr. Schreck, I'm not going to talk to you until the new year, but I want to wish you a blessed Advent and a Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
And you too, and all those years.
All right, thank you, my friend, Dr. Alan Schreck. Man, that is good stuff. Give you a chance to digest that when we come back. Leo Severino.
Peace has long been a Benedictine motto.
1 minute monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
In the Rule of Saint Benedict, the saint challenges those who live in monastic community to truly seek God and find peace. We all strive for peace, the profound sense of confidence and tranquility which flows from resting in God's love and trusting in God's providential care. In our daily lives, we can create peace by simplifying life and removing sources of strife, such as the pursuit of power or possessions. Finally, perfect peace goes hand in hand with perfect charity. When you have peace, you will have charity.
For your free copy of the Rule of Saint Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
In short, rest in God's love, trust in God's care, and love others as God loves them. Then you will find true peace.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Humans of New York is a popular online project created by Brandon Stanton in which he photographs and interviews random people on the streets of the city. One subject, a man, revealed that he was under a lot of stress because he didn't have much money, he needed a new place to live, and his father was in the hospital. So for 2 days, this man walked around New York asking strangers to pray for him. He approached about 200 people, including priests, monks, bank tellers, security guards, and homeless people. Most of them said, "God bless you," or "I hope things work out." Soon after, this man saw a message from a friend saying he had an empty room and needed someone to move in right away. He believes the prayers he asked for actually worked. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was B1 by Natalie Grant. I am Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:34. Leo Severino is the author of the new book from Ignatius Press, Going Deeper, A Reasoned Exploration of God and Truth. He has earned degrees in philosophy and law from the University of Southern California. He's worked as a young lawyer in the world of corporate transactions, and then he transitioned to filmmaking, working at 20th Century Fox before co-founding Metanoia Films. Leo has written and produced several feature films, including Bella and Little Boy. This book that we're going to discuss today is the fruit of years of theological studies and teaching classes on philosophy and faith. We welcome Leo to the program. Now, Leo, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing well. Thank you for waking up early to join us on Spirit in the Morning. I know you're on the West Coast, and I do appreciate this.
Oh, it's a great honor. Thank you for having me. Thank you for all your good work.
Thank you. Okay, let's talk about this book, Going Deeper. What was the inspiration behind this book?
Well, it was very mercenary. It was very selfish, actually, because it was the way that I came to the faith.
Wow.
So it was kind of cathartic to just get that on paper originally. And then I started talking to some people who, when I was doing youth ministry, when I just came back to the faith, some teens, and it seemed that some of these arguments formulated in the way that I formulated them in the book were very helpful to some of these teens. Some of them, one in particular, didn't even believe in God and was only coming to youth ministry nights because her father was forcing her to go. And I said, well, you know, thank you for being here. And but eventually I asked her, why? Is there a reason you don't believe in God? And is there something that's a particular objection you have? And she formulated this incredible objection about terrible things in her life, and how could God exist, and how could he be a loving father, and all these sorts of things. And so I started kind of walking her through some of the things in the book, which was the way that I kind of came to grips with the existence and reality of God, and it seemed to help her. And that kind of snowballed into years later writing this book.
It's very interesting because the very first thing that you refute is the statement that there is no truth. Because by its very nature, that statement cannot be true, correct?
That's exactly right. In the book you'll read, and I always tell you know, anyone who can listen, if someone comes at you, which is very, very prevalent and common nowadays, you know, Pope Benedict spoke of this dictatorship of relativism. People have this notion that there is no truth, and that really what they mean by that is, you know, you have your truth, I have my truth. There's a saying among kids nowadays, live your truth, that sort of thing. But your truth is different than my truth. There are two competing things because there is no overall truth. There is no truth. If anyone starts with that, if anyone says that as a premise, I implore your listeners, if someone tells you there is no truth, you should respond, is that true?
Wow.
Really what they're saying is it is true that there is no truth. Now, they might not put it in that formulation. They might say, well, I mean, there's obviously some truths, but what I mean is that there's no overall truth. There's no universal truth. There's no objective truth, to which, of course, you respond, is that objectively true? Is that universally true that there is no universal truth? So no matter how you slice it, eventually you're going to get down to the fact that there is truth. And I felt compelled and I felt it necessary to start with that basic premise because it's somewhat missing in modern society.
Right, right. And I think we just accept statements like that oftentimes without questioning them.
Yeah, as did I for the very longest time until I realized that greater minds than mine have been discussing this stuff for a very long time previously, you know?
Yeah, I find it very interesting in the book that you, and I realize that we have limited time here on the program, and it's very early for you, so this is kind of a deep topic, but you spend several chapters discussing cause and effect, and you don't even, and I find this really interesting and fascinating and also very effective, you don't even really mention God until chapter 11 of the book, but you spend a significant amount of time talking about cause and effect. Could you maybe give us a brief overview of why that really matters when it comes to believing in God?
Well, because ultimately we believe, as St. Paul says, that God can be known by the things that he created. And there's several classical proofs of the existence of God that have kind of gone in so many ways along the wayside, and yet they're so beautiful and eloquent and actually deductively provably true, as certain as 2 + 2 = 4. And the gift I believe I've been given is to try to make this stuff understandable.
Yeah.
I mean, really, all those few first chapters are, they really are, is St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa Contra Gentilis. But if you don't want to go into the original Latin, or if you think, you know, you don't have a training and a background in philosophy, I really start just from basic stuff that happened. A leaf falls from a tree. That's why the cover of the book is a leaf fell on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Just start with that basic notion of some actual event in space and time. Really, you start examining the series of things that were required in order for that thing to happen. Eventually, you're going to get to a series of a very, very, very long series of things that you know ultimately cannot be infinite. And the reason you know it can't be infinite is because the event happened. It would be like me giving you a sheet of brownies and you're enjoying them and you ask me the ingredients and I say, oh, don't worry, it's just an infinitely long list of ingredients.
Yeah.
There's a logical contradiction there. I'm eating the brownies, the ingredients, the causes of these things couldn't be infinitely long because I'm eating the thing.
Right.
In the same way with any event, eventually you're going to get back to something that is unlike everything that came after it. And that little string, once you grasp intellectually this logical puzzle, eventually that leads to God.
Right, and as you go through, you talk about the first cause, and ultimately in chapter 11, you mention that the first cause is God.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, and that he created us out of love. And you know, I think so many times that's something we forget. When we become stressed out about our lives and all the frustration and about everything that's happening, we often forget that we were created not because God needed us, but because he loves us.
It's a deductive fact existence, right? In other words, when eventually you get to an uncaused first cause of everything, you realize this thing, it really is uncaused. Well, the experience of that, we don't know what that's like because we live in causal spatial reality. But the logical fact of that is compelling. It's so evidently true. And then once you grasp that a little bit, you say, okay, if this thing is uncaused, nothing can cause it to do anything. It's not compelled. It has no inner necessity or external force that can move it, and yet it created, which means it couldn't create because of some cause of necessity inside of itself or external to it. It had to create for the benefit not of itself but of everything that it created. And it's that clear, it's that logical.
Yeah, and it is, and that's what I like about the book. The book is going deeper, a reasoned exploration of God and truth. What I like about the book is it is so logical, and it's understandable. So, Leo, you did a great job. I was able to go through the whole thing and really understand it, and I'm not that bright, so good job, brother.
Neither am I, but if it works for us, hopefully it'll work for others. Anybody out there who has issues with atheism or believe that faith is just blind or that there's no logic behind it or reason behind it, this book is for you.
Yeah, and we still have about 3 minutes left in the segment. I want to touch on the three objections that you discuss in the book. Three objections to, would you say, the existence of God or objecting to the fact that God really cares about us?
Yes, both of those, right?
Both of those, okay.
I just highlighted a couple of common ones that are very prevalent nowadays.
And I think it bears discussing, the problem of evil.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tough. Why would God, if God is all-loving, why does he allow evil?
That's right, and you formulate it right. Why does he allow evil?
Mm-hmm.
The actual logical objection seems really solid, right? If God is all-powerful, he can do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
And if he's all-loving, well, he doesn't want evil. He won't allow that. If he's all-good, why would there be evil? It seems contradictory to him. And so the objection goes, either God doesn't exist, or he's not all-good, or et cetera. I mean, and a common formulation of it, a kind of colloquial formulation of it is, you mean to tell me there's a loving God, and yet there's so much evil, there's so much pain,
right.
There's so much,
right.
And that's a God in your own home.
Yeah.
You as a father wouldn't allow this stuff for your kids. And I use a couple examples in there saying, wouldn't I?
Mm.
In other words, if what was required for me as a father to make sure that my kids were not exposed to any evil was the complete taking away of their free will, am I really a loving father?
Mm.
Right? It could be a case where everything follows the will of God perfectly. Well, I mean, it actually exists in the universe. That's called everything that's immaterial. Rocks follow the will of God perfectly. You let them go, they're going to fall, right? Unless God intervenes miraculously. But the great experiment there was to make something that was even able to turn against the Creator. And so that very notion itself, the very notion of a fixed medium where you and I can interact and I can vibrate the sounds of the air so that you can hear my voice, requires that neither you nor myself can control it. And if we're free, well, then I can use this fixed medium to say things that might be hurtful to you.
Right.
Well,
right.
Does that mean God doesn't love? Actually, points to quite the opposite. It means God loves so much that he doesn't cause us to do everything. He allows us to cause things. And in so doing, if we are free, there's a possibility of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So to ask for a world without evil, where we are in the state that we are now, is ultimately to ask for a world without free will, without love, without the possibility for us to cause anything.
Yeah, and you actually make the point in the book, a world without the possibility of evil is not a world with more love, but a world with less love.
That's exactly right. It's a world where everything just, by the tyrannical creation of God just does what he commands, period. By the way, God willing, we eventually get there, but it isn't tyrannical. It's out of love. It's because we have chosen, and eventually we choose the good, and in so doing, there's a reward.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you also mentioned, and we don't have time to get into these, that's why I recommend highly the book, but you also mentioned the problem, the objection of God's omniscience, and also the problem of pain. You know, and you make the point when it comes to pain, we tend to presume pain is always bad, but that's not always the case, is it?
That's hardly ever the case. Now, if you really think
yeah.
about it, again, using the example of a father and their son, you know, I think I write in the book about having to take my daughter, my little 7-year-old, to the dentist. Well, I know it's going to cause a certain amount of pain and discomfort for her, but I do it precisely because I love her. I willingly allow someone to inflict pain onto my daughter because I love her. Because
yep.
I know that if I didn't do that, it's going to be worse for her if her teeth are rotted or she has a cavity that's out of control or et cetera.
Exactly.
And just like that, you go through not just the physical pains, but the pains of the heart, the anguishes, and you come to a similar conclusion that it is all because of God's love, not contrary to it.
Totally agree. The book is Going Deeper, A Reason Exploration of God and Truth from Ignatius Press. Leo, where is the best place to pick up the book?
At Ignatius.com and Ignatius Press. It's also available on Amazon.
Wonderful. I'm going to have a link at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, my friend.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for
your work. God bless you, my friend. Leo Severino. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible verse.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
All praise to you, eternal Lord. Clothed in a garb of flesh and blood, you chose a manger for your throne, while worlds on worlds are yours alone. Once did the skies before you bow, a virgin's arms cradle you now. And angels who in you rejoice, now listen for your infant voice. They sing glory in the highest, for there's no other name by which we can be saved. That weary ones in you may rest. Forlorn and lowly is your birth, that we may rise to heaven from earth. Singing glory in the highest, for there's no other name by which we can be saved.
God has come to earth.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was God Has Come to Earth by Aaron Schuss. Thanks so much for tuning into the program today. I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from Matthew 10:28, the words of Jesus. And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Sounds a little extreme, sounds a little rough, but here's what we can take out of that. You're going to have challenges in life today. People, circumstances, suffering, you're going to have all that. Don't get overwhelmed because you were created to live with the Lord forever in heaven. We are eternal. Nothing can change that, okay? Nothing can change the fact that we have the ability to live with him forever in heaven, except us. So what we need to do is stay close to him and everything will be okay. I know it's common sense, but it's good to hear that because it's very easy to forget that sometimes. All right, I want to continue sharing a one-minute reflection for Advent from a little pamphlet that I have from Liguori Publications. Today, Tuesday of the second week of Advent, here's the message. It's very simple. Why do we await a telephone call, a letter, an email, or even an angel to announce God's intentions? Are we afraid of responsibility, decisions, or actions that might lead us to catastrophe? God is a God of possibilities. He can teach us to recognize his spirit quietly at work in our lives. We must let that spirit inform our decisions, guide our actions, inform our words and thoughts. With God's grace, we might bravely cooperate with him in bringing infinite possibilities into reality. Dave Parker, this is really the message that Dr. Alan Schreck had for
us today. Absolutely.
Let's let the Holy Spirit do some work. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to him today, especially during Advent, and let him guide us. Don't try to do everything by ourselves, you know, whether it's evangelization, trying to find the Lord, getting through the day. Holy Spirit.
And that's our will taking over, not submitting our will to the Lord.
But speaking of that,
there we go. Have my mic on. Speaking of that, though, did you hear the message, though, that Carson Wentz sent out to fans yesterday?
I did. You want to talk about it a little?
Yeah, let's talk a few minutes about that. You know,
obviously, he does have a torn ACL. He's out for the season. We weren't sure of that yesterday.
Exactly. But, you know, he talked about how, you know, God has a plan.
Oh, my gosh. And he was so clear. I saw it as about a two-minute message. I saw it on Facebook. I don't know where it originated from. But he basically said, look, I believe in Jesus Christ. He said, not everybody's a Christian, but I am. And I believe that he has a plan, and he's going to use this to bring about greater good. Unbelievable.
Absolutely. Exactly.
What a great message.
And what a great way to evangelize.
Yeah.
You're in a position like Carson Wentz. You have how many people, millions of people.
Right.
Like, right on the words you're saying.
Yep.
And he took that opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I believe in God.
Yeah, and you know what? It was so seamless for him. It's obviously when you watched him, it was not contrived or anything. It was just him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's natural to him to speak about Jesus Christ. I think we could all learn a lesson from that.
Yeah, Sunday when this happened, he posted something right away. I think it was Proverbs 2. He loves Proverbs 2.
Yeah,
and what a faithful man, Christian man, young man, and how awesome is that?
Yeah, but this is one of the ways that we can live our faith. We don't have to shy away from it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And then also when we do have those adverse times, there might be a silver lining there. We may not understand it. We may not know why. But it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And for Carson, he just told that to all the fans who are all sitting there going, we had a Super Bowl coming.
I know.
And it's gone now. It's not. There's more to it.
And he's saying, relax. God's got a plan. It's amazing the way he said that. God's got a plan. Plus, and he brought it down to earth, too. He said, and I'm going to be there supporting the team.
Yep.
And Nick Foles is fully capable of doing this. I mean, it was just a great message.
Yeah, absolutely. Allay your fears, folks. That's what he's saying. Relax, as Gary said.
Of course, Philadelphia fans aren't relaxed, but that's neither here nor there.
That's right.
We're an Advent. You can work on it.
That's right. I'm not going to go into what I have said off air, but, you know, my wife Eileen and I had this conversation last night, and I'm not going to say what I said, but,
right.
You know, because it's the Philadelphia fan coming out in me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm torn. I've got my spiritual side, and I've got my Philadelphia fan
Yes, my son.
Side.
Oh, Philadelphia. It's the curse.
That's right. Yeah. See, I knew this was going to happen. Right?
Keep going, my son. You know, get it out.
Brother Mr. Parker,
yes.
Brother Parker, Commander Parker, whoever you are,
Colonel
you have
Parker.
A shout-out
right.
for us.
Yes. I would like to wish all our Jewish brothers and sisters a happy Hanukkah. Today
That's
is the start
right.
of Hanukkah.
That's right. And my brother-in-law, Mark, if you're listening, my friend, happy Hanukkah to you. So
wonderful. We are ecumenical here.
My best friend, Jason, same thing to him.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
You know what? Jesus was Jewish. There's nothing
exactly.
wrong with it.
Exactly.
Good point, Frank.
I don't know why that sounded so funny.
It's one of my favorite lines. I forget. Was it Meet the Parents or whatever?
Yeah. Hey, talk about we have JC. The best here at Catholic Radio. I'm telling you. At Holy Spirit Radio, folks. Anyway.
All right.
Robin, did you enjoy the show?
Yeah.
It sounds good. Good.
That's
so good
right.
to see you today.
What school do you go to?
St. Ignatius of Antioch. St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you miss it?
What do you mean?
Do you miss being in school today?
No.
Of course not, Dad.
Out of the
Come
mouths
on.
Of babes, right? As they say.
Well, it's
no,
great.
She's honest. I love that.
What did you have last night? Christmas concert?
Oh, yeah.
She thought maybe for dinner.
you're just not used to getting up at 5 in the morning to come in here.
What a trooper.
Yeah, that's right.
Breaking
well,
her in early.
As soon as she knew she was off, she was planning on getting up. She set her own alarm. I will not
awesome.
Wake her to come in. And she came down and was ready to go. And then you woke up your mom to do your hair for some reason. She didn't trust me doing her hair.
I wonder why.
Yeah, no comment.
On that note, Robin, it's good to have you with us today. I'm glad you could stop in. Tomorrow on the show, Tony Agnese will be here, as well as one of the EWTN Franciscan friars. They're keeping it a secret. They're not telling me who it is, so we'll find out tomorrow. Also on Thursday, Chris Bell will be here, Father Augustine Weta. And then Friday, we're going to have Dr. Peter Brown from the Catholic Distance University. He's going to be talking about the Holy Father's recent comments on the Our Father. He's an expert in the Greek language, biblical Greek. So he's going to go into the Bible and say, well, here's what the real meaning of the Greek is. So we talked about that last Friday with Deacon Greg Kandra. So I wanted to get an expert in here to talk about that. So that's coming up on the remainder of the week on Spirit
great,
in the Morning.
Great, yes. I'm just sitting over here listening. Sounds good to me, Gare.
Is that okay with you, Dave?
Yeah, yes, it is.
All right,
yeah.
good. As long as it's okay with you, thank you for listening to the program. Remember to check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com. Mm-hmm. Also, if you have any questions, any comments about the programs, about the program, you can reach me at gary@holyspiritradio.org. That's my music. I got to run. Have a wonderful day. Remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating